I have to admit, I feel a little bit like the old country comedian by the name of Jerry Clower. Do we have any Jerry Clower fans in here? Knock him out, John, right? I remember when I was a kid listening to him, he said the first football game he ever saw, he played right tackle in. And this is my first time at the prayer clinic. And here I am speaking. So I know a little bit how he feels. I want to tell you this. I tried to make it up here last night because I wanted to hear the Wallace Brothers sing. I'm a big fan of the Wallace Brothers. But you know what? I think when I Googled the map directions, I think I might have Googled Mike Rife's home address into the Google destination, because I think I may have had his home address as one of the contact addresses for the prayer clinic. And so I ended up on Lee Master Road up here a little bit ways. And I want to tell you, Lee Master Road goes way up over top of a mountain too, but there's no camp up on top of there. You just go down the other side and end up in somebody's driveway that's not too happy to see you show up. So I ended back up at the Comfort Inn last night after about 2 hours of trying to find this place with no cell phone service. I'm an AT&T guy and found out that they don't do business up in this country. Okay? So I didn't get to see last night, and I really regret that, because it would have been a whole lot better than sitting in the motel room. But from what I can gather, this has just been an outstanding meeting, and I wish I could have been a part of more of it. I wanted to be. I was also sad to see when I got up here that Ed Bousman didn't want to be able to speak tonight. And we've prayed for Ed Bousman in our prayer group over here. I hope you lift him up. One of the folks back there at my home congregation saw that I was speaking before Ed Bousman to close this thing down. And I said, "What do you think about that? They've got me speaking before Ed Bousman." And he says, "Well, that's no surprise." He said, "They always have the JV game before the varsity, don't they?" Don't your church members always have a way of keeping you humble out there, preachers? but I really look forward to sharing this time with you. I will say this. I got a little nervous on the way up the hill this morning. When about three-quarters of the way up the hill, they put a sign there that said, "Narrow road up ahead." The whole time up there, I was thinking, what's going to happen if somebody's coming down this hill meeting me, and then three-quarters of the way up there said the road's going to get narrow up here? That was intimidating. But praise God, I made it. And I'm glad to be here with you, brothers. I tell you, I really am. I really am. Praise God. I'm going to speak to you today about the miracle of prayer. The miracle of prayer. Back in the 1980s, in the late 1980s, as a student at Kentucky Christian College, I remembered at one of our evening services there on campus, we had a Christian comedian and a dramatist there, and his name was Kurt Cloninger. And I've never seen him before or seen him after that time. Maybe some of you guys know who I'm talking about, but he had a real impact on me as a student there, because I was a youth minister at the time, and I knew that the kids in my youth group would just love to see this guy and what he was doing. And so I bought one of his tapes. Remember back when they had videotapes? I bought one of his tapes, and what it was a compilation of several sketches that he entitled God Views. God Views. And what this was it was the many ways that people viewed God. Now, these sketches that he wrote and acted in were these very short compilations of the many mistaken ways that people viewed God. I can remember specifically that he had a little skit where he portrayed God as being a butler that was always being asked to do this for us or do that for us, and the butler was just scurrying around making sure that all the needs were taken care of. That was a view of God. I also remember there was a party guy, you know, just someone that was just having the best time, and all he wanted everyone else to do was to have a good time. And that was a mistaken view of God. There was a view of God as being this cosmic sheriff that was riding around on a horse up in heaven, that was just looking down upon all the people of the earth and was just waiting for us to make a mistake so he could strike that against us. He was keeping score. And that was a mistaken view of God. But the one that bothered me the most was an image of God as an old man sitting on the porch at a nursing home, at a retirement home, and just sitting there rocking back and forth, barely able to keep his eyes open. And somebody went up and talked to God there in that old man form, and God said, "Oh, I used to be busy. You should have seen me back in my heyday. I used to do all these wonderful things, but I just don't do that much anymore. I'm just kind of sitting here watching the world go by." You know, that really bothered me, that there are so many people that, yes, that's the way they view God, isn't it? That's the way that they view God. Even in the church, it seems that people want to know why God just doesn't seem to be doing all these miraculous things that he used to be doing, all these mighty things that we read about in the scriptures. People seem to be longing for a miracle, don't they? They seem to be longing for something impressive that's going to take their faith and just lift it up to a higher level. And it's almost as if they're saying, "Oh, I'll get excited and I'm willing to get fired up about my faith if only God would do something miraculous just to impress me." You know, I see this type of longing all the time reflected in the prayers of the people. I don't know about you, but most of the prayers that I hear uttered aloud these days have to do with people praying for the healing of other people who have physical problems. And I suppose that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters that have physical problems. And I believe that God is concerned with our physical well-being. However, I know that my God in heaven is more concerned with our spiritual health. Amen? He's concerned with where we're at in our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you just love to be a part of a prayer meeting? Just one time where the majority of the prayers weren't for sick people, but they were for people who were spiritually sick, because there are people in our congregations that are truly and utterly concerned about them, that they've been sharing the gospel with their family and their friends, and they really want to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life. Wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer meeting? Oh my goodness. Prayers offered up for the spiritual health of people rather than just for the physical health. You know, I wish that the people of God would all come together in agreement on this, that if God chooses to never do another miraculous thing in any of our lives, if He never chooses to intervene in any way, that it would still be okay. That it would still be okay, because He's already done enough. He has done something by making a spiritual healing available to us for all eternity that is available and just there for the taking. Folks, is that not enough? Is that not enough? Does He really need to do more than what He has already done by providing for us His only Son for the salvation of our very souls? Does He really need to do more? You know, God used miraculous powers in the days of old to set apart His chosen nation of Israel, a people that He desired to live among. Read that book of Exodus, and you'll see that that movie they made with Charlton Heston is not really anywhere near close to what actually happened at that time. God was wanting to move in with the people, but instead they sent Moses in their place. He made that covenant with them. They fell short with that. He was wanting to make them into a holy nation. He was wanting to make them into a royal priesthood, but they fell short. So God came up with a new plan, and He came up with a new people that He wanted to work through, to set apart, and to make them into a royal nation and a holy priesthood. And we're a part of that people right now, aren't we? Aren't we, brothers? The church, that's what He's wanting to do. That's still what He's wanting to do. And not only did He want to come in and abide with the children of Israel, He has come in and abided within us, hasn't He? His Spirit is right there in us. Amen. You know, would it make, if God did something miraculous right now, would it make things any more true than what they already are? Does He need to continually prove over and over again that what He did was true? If something is really true, does repetition of that truth make it any more true? It doesn't, does it? It's true, and we know the truth. Oh, but the people keep on praying for miracles, don't they? People keep on praying for miracles. And then people get upset if they ask and their prayers aren't answered the way they want to. Many begin to doubt. And many begin to question why. You ever had anybody close to you that got sick and didn't make it? You know, I've lost a dad at a young age. I lost a 13-year-old sister when I was in the fifth grade. You know, I had a pretty good opportunity to doubt God's existence there. But I know that God has done something for us much more greater than if he would have healed my father or if he would have healed my sister. You know what? People get upset, don't they? Why doesn't he perform these miracles like he used to do? Well, first of all, he does. I want you to understand that. I believe that wholeheartedly. I've seen it in so many people's lives. I have. I could tell you about some people right now that I know are walking upright on the face of this earth because God's hand brought them out of whatever it was they were dealing with. You seen people like that? Amen? Amen. I know it still happens. Miracles occur every day across the face of this world. They do. God is still active in that way. But I want to tell you this. I want to share with you a message this afternoon that's on my heart that I believe that many people overlook. And that is that a miracle occurs every time you pray, regardless of what the answer is, regardless of what the outcome is. Let me tell you something, brothers. Prayer in and of itself is a miracle of God. Amen? Amen. It's true. Prayer is miraculous. By the very definition of miracle, if you look up the definition of miracle, here's what you'll see. An event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a divine or supernatural cause. In other words, it's something that happens down here because of what's going on up there. That's a miracle, folks. And what I'm saying is this. When most people pray, they are looking for a miracle from God. But what they often fail to realize is that the very act of being able to pray, the very act of communicating with God, the very act of being able to talk to God is a miracle in and of itself. Even if you feel like your prayer may have gone unanswered in the way that you want it to be answered. So when we talk about the miracle of prayer, it goes much deeper than just having some wish granted from on high. The very fact that we can talk to God, that is the miracle of prayer. The very fact that we have a high priest in the order of Melchizedek at work on our behalf 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yes, Jesus, our high priest, serving for us. That is the miracle of prayer. The very fact that, yes, even today, we see our prayers answered, don't we? With the lives of people that are changed forever. That is the miracle of prayer. And let's don't forget the power of the Holy Spirit and His work involved here. The Holy Spirit who is at work interceding, interpreting, and translating on our behalf so that the prayers that we offer up make sense. So that our prayers take proper form when they are placed at the throne of God, so that our prayers are actually in line with the will of God. That, my friends, is the miracle of prayer. We've heard it today several times, and I want to echo the sentiment that we live in a time where creation is crying out and where Christians are groaning. The world is out of whack, and many Christian believers are down in the dumps. Now, why is that? Well, I'll tell you why it is. Because right now we're dealing with a temporary state of grief and we're dealing with a temporary state of groaning that's one day going to be replaced by eternal glory. But it's still in the future, isn't it? It's still in the future. We should all be able to say what many of you have probably said or thought before, and that's what, I may not be what I ought to be, and I'm certainly not what I will be, but thank God Almighty, I'm not what I used to be, right? You know, it is here in our passage today. If you turn to Romans chapter 8, Dean kind of tiptoed around this a little bit, It's kind of getting worried there. But God has an interesting way of putting a message on the hearts of his people. And we're going to take a look at Romans 8, 26 and 27, right before that passage of 8, 28 that he shared with us, where we see that not only is creation groaning, and not only are his people groaning for glory, but the Holy Spirit himself is groaning. Let's check it out there. Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says this, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Folks, the very heart of this passage, describing what I call the miracle of prayer, is that even when all we can do is just groan, we're not alone, are we? We're not alone. Brian Bill, a minister up in Michigan, said we're never alone in the groan zone. I think that's an interesting way to put it. We're not alone. Have you ever been stuck, though, in that type of rut in your prayer life? It's when you really don't know what to say or how to say it. It's when you feel like all you can do is just kind of sigh rather than actually speak out. When your inner agony is so deep that you can't really even express yourself, and all you can do is just cry out and ask, "Why? Why, God?" You know, perhaps some of you came up on this mountain stuck in that rut in your prayer life. Maybe you were coming up here to this clinic to work your way out of that. You know, you need to know that you still need to pray even when you don't really know what to say or how to say it. Let me say this, that according to the Scriptures, if you find yourself stuck in that type of a rut, it's okay. It's okay. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do his miraculous work, and he'll help you work your way out of it. So let's dig into this passage just a little bit here from Romans 8, 26 and 27. Paul begins by saying, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us." Now this word help means to take hold at our side, to receive help from one who bears our load. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to be, as the Greek calls it, our paraclete, our helper. In John 14, 16 and 17, Jesus said it this way, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." This title, counselor, can also be translated into comforter. The Holy Spirit helps us by counseling and comforting and convicting because he's with us. He's right next to us and he is in us. In our passage today, we see the miracle of prayer when the Holy Spirit helps us. So how does the Spirit help us in our prayers? The Spirit helps us when we're weak and when we're weary. This Spirit who is holy helps us in our weakness. This word literally translates out to mean without strength. Without strength. And speaks almost of being in an incapacitated state. You know, I'm really glad to know this, aren't you? I can take a lot of comfort in that. Some of us think that we need to be strong in order for God to use us. That we need to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And we've got to be the man of the family. We've got to be the man of the house. We've got to show the strength in order for God to use us as the head of the household. But actually, God goes to work in us many times when we're at our weakest, right? 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Hebrews 4:15 tells us that the Son sympathizes with us when we are feeble. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Men, we all have those days when we just feel like we're drained. You know, I'm principal of a school of 850 students and also preach at a church on the weekends and deal with a lot of those things that go on in church. It's tiring. It's exhausting at times. There are times when I feel so drained that I just want to sit down and just not move. I just maybe would just want to sit there and share with my wife the troubles that I've been facing, share with my family. You know, it's that time that when we're so tired and worn out, we just don't even feel like even going to God at times. But folks, it's at that time that the Spirit will truly help you to get past, to get through your point of weakness and your point of weariness. And that's when the Holy Spirit is there to help us in our prayer life. Not only does He help us when we're weak and weary, but the Holy Spirit helps us when we're perplexed about what to even pray for. Have you ever been at a total loss of what to say? A total loss of how you ought to pray in a situation? Sometimes all we can get out is just a lot of sighing. Maybe even some crying, some tears. And Psalms 5:1 tells us, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing." Well, the good thing is that this is good enough for God. According to Psalms 38:9, it says, "All my longings lie open before you, O my Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you." Part of our weakness at times is our pitiful prayers, isn't it? You know, most believers struggle with prayer, right? You know, why would we have ever come up with the idea for a prayer clinic if people didn't need some help with their prayer life, right? I mean, that's understandable. You know, a lot of people really struggle with quantity and they don't pray enough. And they also feel like they struggle with quality. They really don't know how to pray or what to say. And so oftentimes we get frustrated with our prayer life because we feel like we've got to make our prayers sound just so perfect and so solid in a group of people. You know, I think God is much less impressed with all these perfect prayers that we strive for than what we are, don't you? I think God is a whole lot less impressed with all these, as we say in Carter County, highfalutin words sometimes that we use when we pray. You know, Psalms 34:18 says that God is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And Psalms 10:17 says, "You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry." I believe with all my heart that prayers that are sometimes even muttered in broken sentences that truly reflect the broken heart of a believer are very precious in the eyes of God. Don't you believe that? I believe that. Do you remember the story that Jesus told about the self-righteous Pharisee there in Luke chapter 18? The Pharisee that got up and all he pontificated when he prayed, didn't he? He let everybody know just how important he was. And he prayed about himself. He says, "I thank you that I am not like these other men." Can you even imagine? "I thank you that I am not like these other men, these robbers, these evildoers, these adulterers, or even this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I've got." That was his prayer. And then that tax collector, that very one that he was talking about, standing far off away from the crowd with his head bowed low, not even able to look up because of his humility at the face of God, he muttered a prayer for mercy, didn't he? What did he say? He said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Be merciful on me. Have mercy. I'm a sinner." Jesus tells us that the man who asked for mercy went home with an answered prayer. He went home justified, while the one that was self-righteous and praying for himself left just being self-righteous and having prayed to himself. I don't want my prayers to be like that. But there have been many times in my ministry when I've been at a virtual loss as to what to pray. You know, you're standing there with people that are facing a tragedy in their life, or you're dealing with personal struggle in your own life, and you just feel paralyzed, and you just feel perplexed about what you should say and how to get your feelings into words. But it's also during this time that I've come to realize that we receive our biggest help from the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, as He takes our pitiful prayers and as He turns them so frequently into a message of comfort for those individuals and for those families that are in such need of comfort. Folks, that doesn't come from us, does it? That comes from the work of the Spirit, and I can feel Him moving in my life during those times, refreshing my memory about things that I've learned or nudging me as to what I need to say. And I thank God for His work in my life. Amen. How does He do this? That is the miracle of prayer, because we're not alone. We are not alone. Let's look at what the Holy Spirit does in the remainder of this passage. The second part of the verse there at 26 tells us what the Holy Spirit does and how He does it. Let's look first at what He does. It says, "But the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us." Do you hear the emphasis there? In contrast to our paltry prayers, the Spirit Himself prays for us. The word intercede means to speak in behalf of, to appeal for, to plead for. It was used as if it was describing someone that was being rescued from trouble when they had no way, no resources to escape on their own. I want you to stop and ponder that for a moment. Stop and ponder what the Holy Spirit does for our prayer lives. The third member of the Trinity prays and pleads on our behalf, appealing to the Almighty God. Now, doesn't that just blow your mind? I can't hardly seem to get my mind around that. It's a miracle, isn't it? It truly is. And you know what? It even gets better. Listen to this. Do you know that there's someone else that is interceding on your behalf when you pray? Not just the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit interceding in our heart, but we also have His Son, Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us in heaven. Jump ahead there to verse 34. It says, "Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Hebrews 7:25 tells us that Jesus is interceding for us all the time. All the time. As John says in 1 John 2:1, it says, "But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." And in Hebrews 7:25, we are told that Jesus, as our person that intercedes for us, therefore He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Folks, our defender makes up for any deficiencies that we have in our prayer life, doesn't He? He takes it up for us. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, people always used to talk about having pen pals. Anybody here ever have a pen pal? You know, somebody you wrote back and forth to, maybe from another country? And I can remember when I started my high school youth group, we talked about getting into groups and having prayer partners. You know, I went from pen pals to prayer partners. You know, one thing that I want to share with you right now is something that no one ever told me when I was a young man. I want to tell it to you right now. And that is, men, we have two perfect prayer partners interceding on our behalf at all times. And that is the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Amen. And we see people that are looking for miracles around them all the time, when the miracle is available to them right there just by praying. What a powerful thing. So how does the Holy Spirit intercede for us? The last part of verse 26 tells us how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. It says, "With groans that words cannot express." That's another thing that's comforting to me. It's comforting to me that the Holy Spirit is groaning with me as I deal with and struggle with all the garbage that goes on in my life. The Holy Spirit joins with creation as it cries out. The Holy Spirit joins with Christians in deep, yet inaudible sighing on our behalf. God's Spirit groans and joins our groaning as we together wait for the fulfillment of the glorious words that are found in Revelations 22:3, where it says, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve him. Our sighing is going to cease, people. Our sighing is going to cease. Our groaning is going to stop. And it's going to be replaced with serving. John Piper says this, that our groanings are based on two things. First, a deep desire and an ache of heart that Christ be magnified in our lives. And second, a weakness that leaves us baffled and unknowing as to how this is even going to happen. I want to share with you the fact that the Scriptures talk a lot about groaning, about our struggles when we don't know what to say when we pray, and how we have to rely on the miracle of prayer as the Holy Spirit works on our behalf. It's so intense sometimes that words are inadequate to describe it, but here are some passages from the Scriptures that talk about groaning. We groan with hardship. Exodus 2:24 says, God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant. We groan with grief. Psalm 6:6 says, I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. Psalms 31:10 says, we groan with sickness. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Psalms 38:8 says, we groan with heartache. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan with an anguished heart. Psalms 32:3 says, we groan because of unconfessed sin. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Proverbs 5:11 says that we groan as we grow old. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and your body are spent. And finally, in 2 Corinthians 5:2-4, we groan for glory. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Folks, remember this day, that during the times in which you groan, you are not alone. And that is the miracle of prayer. Are you still with me? Are you still following? It gets even better. Look at verse 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God the Father knows our motives, doesn't he? It's sometimes tough for us to even know our motives, isn't it? You know, sometimes I think I'm doing things with the right motives, and then right in the middle of it, I wonder, am I really doing this with the right goal, with the right purpose in our life? And then it's at those times that I take great comfort that God knows my heart. This word that says search means to make a thorough investigation. And this is in the present tense, indicating that this is God's continual activity. He never stops searching our heart. He never takes a break from searching our heart. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. And Psalms 44:21, he knows the secrets of the heart. And Jeremiah 20:12 says that God just doesn't take some sort of cursory glance at our motives, where it says, O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart. God knows what's going on in our lives, doesn't he? As our Father God knows our hearts, and as God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit, we understand that there's complete union in the Trinity, isn't there? You know, they always work together. And since the Holy Spirit is working within us, the groans that the Holy Spirit makes on our behalf is what God the Father hears and what he responds to. The Holy Spirit helps us pray according to God's will. You know, I wonder how many of my prayers, have you ever thought about this? How many of our prayers, I know that we pray for God's will to be done, but how many times are our prayers really in line with God's will? We may want them to be. We may hope that they are, but are they really in line with God's will? 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, folks, that makes me understand that we need to be careful to make every effort to pray according to God's will as we understand it in our life, right? But aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is there working on our behalf to weed out all those prayers that are not in line with God's will? It's almost like He's screening them for us. That's a powerful thought. The Spirit of God knows my needs a whole lot better than I know them. He pleads to the Father, and He raises my desires to a higher and to a holier place even than what I have them. And this accomplishes a lot of good for me, and it also extends the Father's glory to me as well, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit takes our frail and our feeble and our faulty prayers, and He translates them to the Father so that they are acceptable and in harmony with His holy will. And folks, I take a lot of comfort in that. I really do. Because I can trust God. I can trust His Spirit when I certainly can't trust myself. So often we find ourselves looking down during times of struggle in our prayer life. But we need to look up. We need to look up for comfort. We have seen from the Scriptures today that we can be encouraged that we are not expected to know the will of God in every respect. We can be encouraged today that in our groaning, we are not being watched. We are being understood. We can be encouraged today that God's work for us is not limited to what we can understand and express with words. We can be encouraged today that in our weakness and sickness and loss and hardship and danger, that the Spirit of God is praying for us and not against us. And we can be encouraged that God the Father hears the prayers of the Spirit for us. When you feel very weak because of suffering or decay or sickness or futility or persecution or failed plans or baffling decisions, don't despair as if God is angry with you or at your inability to know what to do or what to pray. At that very moment, experience the wordless groanings of your heart as groanings for the glory of Christ, and trust the Holy Spirit to intercede for you about the specifics. Trust Him that because He is praying for you, your Father will bring about decisions and circumstances that will magnify Christ in the best way in the very midst of your ignorance and groaning. Folks, the miracle of prayer is that it is our bridge to God, and it's a bridge that will never come down. It's a bridge that will never collapse because the Holy Spirit is interceding for us with groans that cannot be expressed. So I ask you and I challenge you to go down from this mountain and let your people know that yes, miracles happen every day, because when we pray, prayer is truly a miracle of God. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You so much for Your Son, our Savior. Father, we thank You for You, our Father. And Father, we thank You for the Comforter that You've given to us as Your Spirit. Father, we are just so comforted by the fact that when we don't know what to say, that You understand us, that You know our hearts, that You are probing our desires and our motives, and that, Father, our prayers are being put before You in the way that they should be. Father, I take comfort in that, and I praise You for that. And I recognize that it is a miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.